I wanted just to mention that the scripture, there's been something burning on my heart for, a month or more. And I'll just share a little scripture here from 1 Timothy 5:17. I'm not preaching there, but let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And my wife and I are humbled that God would allow us to be in such a wonderful church family. We just love all of you. And we really love our pastor. When I say pastor, I mean Pastor Intriva. She has such a heart for the Lord like her husband. But, you know, churches need opportunities to honor the man of God that God has given them. And God has given us a wonderful man of God, Pastor Eric, Sister Treva. And I would like for us just to take a moment in prayer for Pastor Eric and Sister Treva, also for the team there, as well as for God's blessing on us today. Oh, Lord Jesus, we come to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd. We are but the sheep of your pasture. And, oh God, all of us with one heart can truly thank you and praise you for our pastor, Eric, and Sister Treva. We pray, oh God, your hedge of protection around our pastor as he is in Tanzania. We pray your hedge of protection around the team. And we pray, oh God, you will grant them fresh oil, a double anointing of your spirit, that many people will be born into the kingdom of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, strengthen Sister Treva and all the wives, Lord, who are here stateside while their husbands are away. We just pray your blessing upon each wife, upon each family. Keep each one in your care, we pray. And now, Lord, we ask you personally, Lord Jesus. Jesus, you have a voice. You are risen. You are here. We ask you, oh God, to speak personally to our hearts. Oh God, we pray that you will reveal yourself to us and open our understanding. Open our hearts, Lord, where we will not withhold anything back from you. We pray, oh God, that you'll be glorified in everything said and done. And before we say amen, would you join me in praying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to talk to you about life's greatest lesson. And I've worked a number of years in hospice as a chaplain and as a bereavement counselor. And invariably through the years, I would ask the patient, what is the greatest life lesson that you have learned? I mean, sum up all your life and the lesson that you would want to pass on to your children and to your grandchildren, what would that be? Well, I've gotten a number of a variety of answers through the years, all kinds of answers. The one that I remember most was probably a Roman Catholic fella who he owned a large catering business, and he had a large restaurant, and now he had a leg amputated. Now he was near the end of life's journey. So I said to him, What life lesson would you want to pass? What is the greatest life lesson that you would want to pass on to your children, to your grandchildren, and anyone else? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Do not sin." And I thought, whoa, whoa. Well, you got that one right. I thought about it myself. And I thought, if I were asked, what is the greatest life lesson? If someone asked me, I thought about it. And as I've studied the scripture and prayed, I believe the greatest life lesson has to do with forgiveness. Forgiveness. Our Lord spoke about it in Matthew chapter 18. And I want to pick it up in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Mind you, this was the fellow who later on would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who felt so heavy because he had turned away from the, he had denied the Lord. Well, that hadn't happened yet, so he comes to Jesus and asks, "Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother, who has sinned against me? Up to seven times?" You know, Jesus answered him. He said, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven." Now, forgiveness, the word forgiveness, actually there are seven words in Scripture translated forgiveness. Four of them are Hebrew and three of them are Greek. But to sum it up, the Greek word for forgiveness, and I'm making it really simple, is to let go. To release. It is an intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger, let go of every grudge and ill feeling that we have toward anyone. And it's not to to hold somebody, something against another person despite what he or she has done to you. You make that intentional decision just not to hold it against them. Now, this is a subject that I know a lot about because I've had to ask the Lord to forgive me quite a bit. I have had a lot of experience. But not only have I had to ask the Lord to forgive me, you know, I was thinking about it. I had been in hospice now working for probably 11, 12 years. And at that point, I was the fellow who had the longest tenure in the office. I was there longer than anybody else. So I kind of knew a lot of the ins and outs of what was going on in the office. And a lady came into our office who was hired as a DPS, the Director of Professional Services. And each morning in hospice, we would meet and review any changes that had happened in the lives of the people. You know, if anyone had died or if anybody's condition worsened or perhaps some have improved. But we would discuss it. And so we were around the table meeting, and this lady, this new hire, came in and talked about all the changes she was going to make. And I said, "Now listen," I said, "I've been here a while. That is not how we do things here. You know, this is what we do," and so forth. Well, after work that evening, I went home and I went to my place of prayer and I was praying. You know, so often I never argue with the Lord. And sometimes I can't say I wish he wouldn't speak to me, because when he corrects me, you know. So he said, "Son, you were wrong." I said, "Lord, I was wrong? Yes, you were wrong. Your attitude was wrong. And you should have never said anything that you had said. And you need to make it right. The next morning, I went into the hospice office. And they gathered around the table. And because I had made a public statement and told the lady how wrong she was, and this is the way it should be, and so forth, I made a public, well, it was more than an apology. I said, I am a born-again Christian. That's what I told them. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I went to pray last night, and I couldn't pray, and God convicted me how wrong I was. And I want to ask your forgiveness for my attitude. And everybody listened. Do you know what happened? It was 2 days later at the most. They promoted this lady to be the administrator of the hospice. She was the boss of all the hospice now. And I thought, Lord. If anybody ever asks you, I know how to cook goose, because my goose was cooked. I mean, you know. So anyhow, but thankfully, I look back, and that lady, because God placed it on my heart, and I was obedient, we had a good relationship, and I did not lose my job. But I thought, Lord, what if I wouldn't have obeyed you? What if I wouldn't have listened to you? So the Lord, that was just one of the many occasions where the Lord had to correct me. Here was Peter. He came to Jesus with a question about forgiveness. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times. According to Jewish tradition, the normal number was three times, you know, to ask somebody to make it right. And Peter, being very magnanimous as Peter was, said, well, Lord, up to seven times. Well, this was the typical Jewish way of saying, don't hold a grudge. You know, give them three chances. You know, at least that. But what prompted Peter to say seven times? Well, it could have been from back, and Peter knew the Old Testament scriptures. But back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 15, I don't know if Peter thought about this, but the Lord said to Cain, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Perhaps Peter thought about that. I don't know. However, just thinking about the scripture, I think that Peter really felt as though he was going the extra mile and offering seven times. It makes me think of the scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, righteously, and for God has given to each one a measure of faith. Peter, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Seven times, man, you know, I'll forgive up to seven times, Lord. You know, I think sometimes we have that problem as Christian believers. I think so much, you know, I know that quite often I am like Peter myself. Because sometimes it's so easy to think that I am a much better Christian than I really am. I become self-deceived, and the Lord teaches me a lesson and says, son, you're not as far along as you thought you were. You know, you've got some lessons to learn. You know, I think perhaps one of the things that holds us back from responding to the Lord in a service is because we feel so good about ourselves. We feel like we've kind of got our lives together. We know where God took us from. We know how wicked we were, how evil we were, how bad we were, how corrupt we were. And now God has taken us and God has cleansed us and we feel good about ourselves. And that's a dangerous place to be. So Peter asks Jesus the question. And our Lord responds in verse 22. And he says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. You know, Bible scholars are very undecided as to how this verse should be translated. Should it be translated 77 times or 7 times 70? Well, it makes me think the scripture says in Genesis chapter 4 verse 24, Lamech said, if Cain shall be avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. There are two words that crystallize Jesus' teaching here about forgiveness. One is this, that forgiveness should be unlimited. Don't count how often you forgive someone. Just forget about keeping a record. Just forgive them freely. I don't know where my wife found a little plaque that hangs in our house. When I was hanging pictures and plaques when we bought our house, I put this in the bathroom because I figured everybody's going to have to go there, and I wanted everybody to see it. So if you have diarrhea and you come to my house, you're going to get a message. And the message, I don't know where my wife found it, but it says, forgive everyone everything. Wow. That's quite an order. The other word that capsulizes Jesus' teaching, I believe, on forgiveness here is not only should we forgive an unlimited number of times, but we should forgive unqualified forgiveness. That is to say, we forgive without any strings attached. You know, if you do this, I'll forgive you. Or, hey, if you measure up over here, I'll forgive you. Or, listen, if you really mean it, well, then you do thus and so, then I'll forgive you. No, forgiveness is to be unqualified, no strings attached, unlimited forgiveness. God will never ask any of us to forgive anyone any more than Jesus has forgiven us. So I see Peter coming to Jesus with a question about forgiveness. The other thing I noticed, when Jesus told this story, I see a quest for forgiveness. And I want to take you to verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, when the Bible says, anytime the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is like something, we need to pay attention. He's talking about heaven. Heaven is a place where people, everyone there in heaven is a forgiven person, except Jesus, of course. He never sinned. Everybody that will be in heaven is a person who has received forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Without exception, everyone. The other thing is about heaven is that everyone there knows how to offer forgiveness. We not only receive forgiveness, but we become a forgiver. And so Jesus is teaching us in these verses here about forgiveness. Now, I want you to notice when he says the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. I was praying and I was remembering the account where King David sinned with Bathsheba. And God sent to him Nathan the prophet. And Nathan the prophet told King David the story, and David was really riled up, and then Nathan pointed his finger and said, "You are the man. You're the man." And David realized that God knew about how he had sinned. And in this passage of Scripture, the reason I mention that, when Peter comes with a question about forgiveness, Jesus is saying, "Peter, you're the man here. You are the servant in this scripture. You and I are the servants." We like to think of ourselves as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand that when Jesus is telling this story, he is speaking personally to Peter, and he's speaking personally to me and you. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he wanted to settle accounts, it makes me think of the scripture in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." The king here is wanting to settle accounts with all of his servants. And when he had begun, verse 24, to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Everyone is accountable to God, and everyone is in debt to God. So the king wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and they brought to him a fellow servant. He did not come voluntarily. He was brought to the king. Why? Because his debt was so large and he did not want to face the king. He owed 10,000 talents. To get an idea of how much that would be, I found 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 6. It talks about King Amaziah of Judah also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. 100 talents, and he was able to hire 100,000 soldiers. Okay? So here's a man who owed 10,000 talents. And his debt was so large. Matter of fact, humanly speaking, his debt was beyond forgiveness. You know, my friend, God cannot really do anything for any of us until we understand how much we need him. You know, God is willing and able to do a mighty transformation in each of our lives, but he can't do anything until we come to him honestly. We say, "Lord, I need you just as I am." David Jeremiah, I found this one thing. I have a David Jeremiah Bible, and he makes this comment, and I liked it. Of all the things I studied about talents, this is what struck me. He says that a talent would be worth about 20 years of work. One talent worth 20 years of work. So it would take close to 200,000 years to pay off a debt of 10,000 talents. Here was a man who was humanly beyond forgiveness, humanly speaking. His debt was so large, how could it ever be forgiven? You know, everyone needs forgiveness. That's what Jesus is pointing out here. Everyone, without exception, needs forgiveness. Everyone needs the forgiver, the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the scripture says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Without exception. All have sinned. So we are told in the scripture, verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. What a ridiculous request. I have made some requests of God at times that just were mind-boggling. You know, God, how in the world could you ever answer this prayer? It's bigger than any human. So I bring it to you. And here was a man who said, I will pay you all. You know what he was asking for? God, give me more time. Just give me more time. The king did much more than he ever asked. That's just like Jesus. He always does more than we ask. And so in this passage of scripture, we find that Jesus, the master of the servant, was moved, verse 27, with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Moved with compassion. How often when someone has come to you and said, you know, I'm really sorry for what I did, have you been moved with compassion toward them? Even if they didn't ask you for forgiveness, did you forgive them? The greatest example of a forgiving person is our Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross at Calvary. And he says to them, Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. No one asked Jesus for forgiveness, but Jesus offered it anyway. My life journey somewhat parallels our pastor's journey. He kind of alluded to that at times. I grew up in a family where my father was an alcoholic. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't grow fins. I mean, he really tipped the bottle. He would come home soused. I remember Dad coming home in such a condition. I must have been about 12 years old, something like that, maybe 13. He came home drunk. I remember him looking for me. And he had a knife, and he wanted to kill me. My mother said, hide. I went up in the attic, and I got back there, and I hid. He opened the door that went upstairs to the attic. He said, Davy, son! There was no way I was going to answer him. I was not going to say it's just me and us chickens. I was going to be quiet. And, of course, he settled down and, you know, fell asleep. And the next day, you know, went on as he normally did. And I remember coming to Jesus as a boy with all my heart. I was 7 or 8 years old. I remember the preacher, what he preached about, Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho. Oh, I could picture that. Joshua and my eyes were riveted on the preacher. I'll never forget how he preached. And I went forward. It was in an old tent meeting, camp meeting. It was sawdust on the floor. And I went forward. And with my little 7 or 8 year old heart, I didn't understand a whole lot, but I knew that with all of my heart, I was going to give my heart to Jesus. And I meant it. And he forgave me. Well, he's been so faithful, but when I became a teenager, I backslid. And I remember there was a buddy of mine. We played on the high school baseball team together. He and I were really into it, and we got to be good friends. And we planned after school to go shoplifting. I'm ashamed of it. And I remember, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. I mean, back then it was little 45 records, you know. And I got a few long play records. But and I remember there was a store in town, Smith Music Store. Went in there, and I don't know how many records I stole. And I went into another store. I stole a magazine. And then went into another store. And the shop owner said, listen, you've got something under your coat. I believe you stole it from here. I said, I didn't steal anything from your store. And that was the truth. I stole it from the other store. You know, I mean. And so I remember it was something. So he said, open your coat. I opened it. And he saw the magazine I had stolen. You know, it was just God that he didn't call the police. But he called my parents. And I remember they came and picked me up and I went home. And I got home by my bedside, closed the bedroom door, and I said, Lord, we're going to have it out now. Either I'm going to live 100% for the devil, or I'm going to live 100% for Jesus. But I'm going to do one or the other. I'm not going to do 50-50. So, Lord, and I wept, I prayed, and I cried out to God, and God had mercy on me and forgave me. My debt was so large, oh, it just grieves me to think that I could do such wickedness. And praise God, I haven't stolen since. You don't need to worry about me. But I had a lot of repenting to do. God gave me more than time. He gave me forgiveness. But as I read on in this passage of Scripture in verse 28, that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. A Roman coin back then, well, where I studied, they said it was worth, the denarius was about worth 18 cents, probably still less than a dollar today with our inflation. And so it was a working man's daily wage. And he might have had to work about 6 months to pay his debt. No debt in comparison to the man that had been forgiven. I remember a man in a church who came to me one time, and he said this, I'll never forget. He said, I don't just get even, I get ahead. And friend, if you have an unforgiving spirit, you don't get ahead. You never get ahead by trying to hide things from God. Listen, God is not deceived. God sees all. God knows all. You know, don't live a double life. You know, putting on a front as though I'm a Christian while I'm at church, but a hellion when I get out of church. No, friend. Either we're going to live for Jesus Christ or we're going to live for Satan. But don't live in the middle. Don't try to straddle the fence. And here was a man who came to his fellow servant, fell down and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. You know, a person who doesn't forgive is a person who is imprisoned. My friend, if you are unable or unwilling to forgive, actually, if you're unable to forgive, ask God to forgive you. And ask God to give you grace to forgive. Ask God for the strength to forgive. So he fell down and he begged him repeatedly, is the idea in the Greek. He begged and begged and begged, please, please, just give me a chance. I'll repay the debt. I'll make it right. And his fellow servant choked him and would not offer him forgiveness. You know, my friend, The scripture in 2 Peter 1:9 says, "He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins." Friend, if you're unwilling to forgive, one of two things. Either you have forgotten that you were cleansed from your sins by Jesus Christ, or you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. And it is a serious thing not to be a forgiving person. I'll never forget, as I said a moment ago, how unforgiveness imprisons a person. I remember when I was in hospice, there was a CNA who was a certified nurse's assistant, came to my office. I always had the door open. And she said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." I could tell that she was near tears. I said, "Well, let's just step outside the office," because there's a lot of traffic in the office. I said, "Tell me what's going on." Well, she said, "My father died 11 years ago, and every day I've been tormented by the fact that, well, my father abused me. And I've always wanted to tell Daddy, 'Daddy, I forgive you, and will you forgive me?' But she said, 'My daddy has died 11 years ago. And she said, every day it haunts me. She said, it's just constantly on my mind. So I shared with her Jesus and who Jesus is and why he came, why he died on the cross. And she prayed to receive Christ into her heart. She sent me a note and she said, 'David,' she said, 'I have never felt so free.' She said, 'I know it's all gone. All that debt, all my daddy's abuse and my unforgiveness toward him. When I just was willing to forgive and came to Jesus, he removed it all.'" My friend, you may have someone in your past, someone who has died. You can't go to them now. There may be somebody in your life, a broken relationship. You're not on speaking terms anymore. And you wonder, why am I not moving forward in the things of God? Why am I not growing as a Christian? Why don't I, even when I pray, God doesn't seem to answer my prayer? Or it seems like I hit a stone wall and I can't move any forward. Friend, you need to come to Jesus and say, "Christ, oh, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my bad feelings toward whomever it is. A past employer, a fellow worker, someone in the neighborhood that you're not on good terms with. You need to come to Jesus and say, 'Jesus, oh, I'm willing to forgive. Make me willing. Help me to be willing to forgive. My heart has been so hard. I have been in a spiritual place where I'm just not growing anymore. And I want to grow in the things of God.'" But we can't do that until we come to Christ. We say, "God, be merciful to me. God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Unforgiveness keeps us bound in prison. The scripture says here, "His fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him," verse 29, "saying, 'Have patience with me and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went out and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done." Now God knows all that's been done. If you have been forgiven, you must be willing to forgive. Is there something that happened maybe just one night on a date? Is there something that happened at school one time when some students brought drugs into school and you just happened to participate? What is it that God is speaking to you about? My friend, I know someone. I know a king. His name is Jesus. He is willing to forgive. Listen, friends, forgiveness is different than an apology. I'm afraid that there are a lot of people who mistake forgiveness and an apology. We can make an apology without feeling any sense of remorse. We can apologize without having any sense of compassion for what we did. We can apologize without any desire to make things right. Forgiveness is entirely different. We are releasing a person. We're letting this thing go. We're giving it to Jesus. We're getting it out of our past, out of our hearts, and giving it to Christ. Oh, my friends, I think this is such a needed message. But I just want to take a moment and talk about the quality of forgiveness. Verse 33. Let's pick it up, verse 32. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity with you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. There are some folks, oh, I fear lest there be any Christian believers who have been tortured because of an unwillingness to release someone in forgiveness, to go to them and make it right. Several years ago, my wife and I bought a house. I would not advise you to do what we did. I don't think it's wise, but nonetheless, we did it. We bought a house from a relative. Been there, done that, haven't you? Well, we paid the amount. House was paid for, or so we thought. And the relative said, no, you got it wrong. You owe $1,000 more. Now, I think my wife is more godly than I am. And she said, you know, we should pay that $1,000. I said, I already paid. The contract says this much, and we paid it. No, but I think we should do that and add $100. I wondered if my wife was in her right mind. She was in her right mind, but my heart wasn't right. Till I went to the Lord in prayer. I said, "Lord, this woman I married, the one you gave me, Lord, it's the one you gave me," said that we should pay $1,000 more plus $100. And the Lord made it real to me, son, forgiveness is doing more than is expected. The servant just wanted to be released, and he said, "Just give me time, a little more time. I will pay everything back." God did more than give time. He forgave the debt. My friend, if you and I were to pay God back for all the sins he's forgiven us, we would still be in short supply. We could never repay what he has done. So, we gave that amount, the $1,100. Do you know what? When I see this relative, honestly, because I was preparing the message, I really don't think about it. I've seen the relative a number of times. And I don't have any bad feeling. I just love them. I just feel, you know, it's just like it never happened. You know, friends, we need to release someone feel compassion and forgive like God forgives with a compassionate heart, realizing their plight and their difficult situation. I want to share this little story and then I'm almost done, believe it or not. You know, don't take that to the bank, because when a preacher says he's almost done, you say, But I have to tell you this. We had good friends, pastor friends in Pennsylvania, where we did most of our ministry, pastored the church in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, northeast Pennsylvania. And a very fine couple. And the pastor's wife, we got together on a number of occasions and had fellowship. The pastor's wife shared a story with us and never forgot. Her name was Gloria. Gloria said, "I want to tell you about my brother. My brother is a Christian. And one day my brother was just driving wherever. He stopped to pick up a hitchhiker. And gave a hitchhiker a ride. And as they were driving, my brother said to him, 'Well, where are you staying tonight?' He said, 'Well, I don't have any money. I don't have any place to stay.' He said, 'Come to my apartment. Stay with me.' He was single. He just stay in my apartment overnight. And he said, you could just go on your way the following day. They had supper. They had a time where they talked and visited together. Then it was time to go to bed. Gloria's brother said, 'Well, you sleep here on the couch. All I have is one bed. You sleep out here, and I'll go to the bedroom, and we'll get up in the morning, have breakfast, and you can be on your way.' And during the night, this fellow went into the kitchen, opened the drawer, pulled out a knife, and stabbed this fellow to death. Gloria said, 'I couldn't forgive him. He murdered my brother.' And she said, 'It was the hardest thing.' She said, 'I was really angry at this fellow who would, my brother did a kind deed and he murdered him.' She struggled with that. She prayed for about that for, I think at least a year. She just prayed and prayed, 'God, I just can't forgive him. I miss my brother. I love my brother. Now he's gone. I can't visit with him. I can't fellowship with him.' God was working in her heart, softening her heart. One day she had the Christian radio station on. She was listening to the radio as she was busy doing her housework. And the announcer said, 'At such and such a time, we're going to have someone on our program, a live interview, with a fellow who became a Christian. And he was hitchhiking. He murdered somebody, and he wants to share his testimony.' She said, 'Spirit of God touched my heart, and I knew this was the fellow that murdered my brother.' She got in her car and drove as fast as she could to the radio station. She went into the radio station. She saw the man that murdered her brother. She said, 'David, I felt such love, the love of Jesus. And I just grabbed him in my arms and hugged him, and we wept. And he said, "Yes, it was your brother I murdered. But now I'm a believer in Jesus Christ.' And you may be here today, and you may have said the words to someone, 'I could never forgive him. I could never forgive her for what she did to me.' Humanly speaking, you probably can't. But you need Jesus to help you. And you need to come to the Master and say, 'Jesus, I've had such hardness of heart because I'm unwilling to forgive. My heart is so hard. It's hard for me to let go and forgive. But, oh God, please make me willing. Please help me to forgive. My friend, this morning the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. God, the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus said in verse 35, "So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." From the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6:14 and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." My friend, God has sent this message for each of us, for me, for you. And we've just been putting things off. They say time heals all wounds. It doesn't. Only Jesus can. Time will cover up wounds, but it doesn't heal them. And God, the Holy Spirit, is here. And there are folks who have been carrying a weight just like Lucy, the CNA who came to my office. And she said, "I've been carrying this for 11 years since my daddy died." Some of you perhaps have someone in the past, they've died, and you can't go to them. But you can come to a living Christ. And I want to give you the opportunity today. I'm going to ask that we stand together as Sister Treva comes. I want to give you the opportunity. Let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, oh Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. And just as you personally spoke this word to Peter, Jesus, you have spoken this word to us today. It is your word, not my word. Now, Lord, I ask you to draw your people in. I ask you, Lord, to release forgiveness and peace, healing and wholeness as we respond your word. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm inviting you to come forward. I'm inviting all of us to come forward. You need to find a place to pray, perhaps. Now is the time of salvation. God has spoken to your heart. He wants to bring healing and wholeness. So as Sister Treva plays, and just let's step out and come. Come to Jesus. You're not coming to me. Saying, "Jesus, I'm here, and I want to forgive. I've been hurt in the past." Just come. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. When I was 8 years old and I stepped out, I could care less who thought what. But we need to get to that place where we just don't care. The only thing that really matters, as we sang earlier, is Jesus. I'll share this yet. When I repented, when I was a teenager, from shoplifting, I went back to the place that I stole all the albums from, and I told them I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian, and I've stolen so many albums from your store. I went there, and that's what I said to them. I didn't know if they'd have me thrown in jail or what. But I felt the Lord wanted me to do that. Total obedience. Don't hold anything back. There are individuals whom God may be speaking to, and He's calling you. He wants to call you, but you're holding something back. And He wants to lay His hand on you in great power. But I want to give you the opportunity. Let's just come. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true.
Oh, yes, Lord, make it ever true.
Change my heart, oh God.
Oh, Lord, we pray.
May I be like you.
Oh, we want to be like you, Lord.
Change my heart, oh God.
Jesus, Jesus.
Make it ever true. Change my
heart, oh God.
May I be like you.
Is that your prayer? Let's mean it. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Oh, yes, Lord.
So mold me.
Jesus, draw your people by your Spirit, I pray. Oh, God, oh, God.
Change my
heart, oh, God. Praise your name, Lord.
Make it ever true.
Yes, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Change my heart.
Oh, hear our prayer, oh God. Change my heart.
Make it ever true.
Lord, give me a soft heart, a tender heart, Lord.
Change my heart, oh God.
Oh, Jesus.
May I be like you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Now, precious Lord Jesus, I praise you, Lord, that you always honor your word. Your word never returns void. Pray, O God, that you will work in such power in each of our lives that unforgiveness will not hold us back in our spiritual growth. But, oh God, give us a heart just like Jesus. Oh Lord, we pray your blessing in all these things. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a tender, loving Savior. Who receives us just as we are. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Woodard if he would come. And praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Treva. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask our brothers just to come and share the blessing. And so they will dismiss us. Thank you. Praise the Lord.